Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Let's get into some housing data. This just out from CNBC. The numbers do not look good. CNBC, this from Diane Olick, and she's one of the people at CNBC that I think is pretty good. Headline, pending home sales sink in February, setting a grim tone as housing market enters key spring season. Yeah, so for those of you who aren't familiar with kind of how real estate works, usually the spring is when you get the majority of the activity. I remember when I first got into real estate in 2012, this was pretty much at the bottom of the market. I remember very well going into, November, December, January, you could pretty much name your price. And back then the banks would take it. And then going into the spring, it was a little bit harder. There was some more, a little more competition for these homes. And I kind of observed that throughout my first winter. Therefore, the second winter, I really took advantage of it. I was kind of held off at the end of the summer and buying some inventory for my flips or my rentals. And I purposely held off until December, especially before the holiday season or before like Christmas, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, because I knew that's when there's very, very few buyers. So my point with this is to make sure that everyone understands that spring, it's expected to be the hot season for selling homes. So the fact that we're seeing home prices or home sales, not just flatline, but actually sink going into the spring season, it's a very big deal. Key points. This is setting a soft tone for usually busy spring season, what we just talked about. Pending home sales, which measure signed contracts on existing homes, fell 4.1% in February compared with January. This is the fourth straight month of decline in pending sales, which are an indicator of future closings 1 to 2 months out. So if this is predicting that closings will continue to, or pending sales will continue to decline, that means into, call it, March, April, May, and again, you would expect to see the complete opposite of that. The median monthly payment on a new mortgage is now taking up a larger share of typical consumers' income. It jumped 8.3% in February compared with January. And guys, if you haven't seen it, I did a whiteboard video on this very topic last night on the George Gammon channel. And so just as soon as you get done with this video, I'd strongly encourage you checking that out. Again, that's just, you can just type my name into YouTube, pull up the George Gammon channel. It's the very last video I did on the housing market just last night. Okay, now we get into some of the bits that I highlighted. In a grim sign for the housing market's busiest season, pending home sales, which measured signed contracts on existing homes, fell 4.1%. What we're saying, this is according to the National Association of Realtors. Sales were down 5.4% compared with February of 2021. Analysts were expecting a slight gain. So let me just reiterate that. The analysts were expecting a slight gain, which makes sense going into what is typically the busiest season for home sales. But we actually had a decrease. It didn't even flatline. And again, this is the fourth straight month of declines with pending sales. And I want to point out, this isn't just new home sales. This is all homes. Newer homes and existing homes. And the reason I like to point that out is because usually if we're compartmentalizing the new home sales, that would be the McMansions, because that's pretty much the only homes that builders can buy right now at a profit. So if you're in a market like Phoenix, Arizona, as an example, the builders really can't build anything under, let's say, $400,000 or $500,000 and make money. So this is why when you go to North Scottsdale, around True North, let's say, you see all this building, but it's all these million-dollar homes, where if you go over to Glendale or you go into Chandler or you go into Gilbert or something like that, you see far less new homes being built because, again, they just cannot build those starter homes at a lower price point and make a profit. But my point here is that this number that we're seeing from this article in CNBC includes the existing homes and the new homes, which is a really big deal, because you can see how those new homes would slow down, but I wouldn't expect a slowdown in the kind of bottom tier of the lower price point homes, and that's exactly what we're seeing. So since this count is based on February contracts, this is when mortgage rates really started to take off. Now, this is something that I really discussed to great detail in the video last night, that mortgage rates have gone from, call it 2.7% up to about 4.7% today. That's happened over the last maybe 3 or 4 months. So we've seen a huge spike in mortgage rates. This makes sense because the Fed raised 25 basis points. But in addition to that, the Fed stopped buying mortgage-backed securities because remember, they've tapered their QE down to zero. So if the financial institutions had a backstop for these mortgage-backed securities, in other words, they had a last resort buyer that was always there, pretty much regardless of price, they could always flip these mortgages to the Fed, even if there was a tremendous amount of risk. And now that they can't flip these mortgages to the Fed, well, they're charging a higher risk premium. Well, what does that mean? That means a higher interest rate. And if the Fed is going to raise up to, let's say, 2%, which is what the bond market is predicting, because the Fed almost always follows the two-year treasury. And the two-year treasury today, right about 2.3%. So if the Fed raises to 2%, that means mortgage rates probably go up to 6.5 plus on a 30-year fixed. And if we see this type of demand destruction going from 2.7 to 4.7, what's going to happen when we go from 4.7 to 6.5 or 7 or even higher? And here they start talking about when rates started to rise in January and continued sharply higher in February. And again, this coincides with not only the expectations of the Fed hiking, the Fed actually hiking, but then the higher inflation expectations, which applies to that risk premium that lenders are going to demand, or at least whatever entity is holding the bag on those mortgages. That could be the bank, that could be a pension fund or some other financial institution that they flip that paper to. But regardless, if it's not the Fed, they're going to be sensitive to the price they pay. And therefore, they're going to start considering inflation expectations and people's ability to actually pay back the loans. And therefore, the spread on, let's call it LIBOR or SOFR or whatever you want to use, and the actual mortgage rate is going to increase. And this is without the Fed raising rates. With the Fed raising rates, it'll just exacerbate it. So regionally, pending sales rose 1.9% month over month in the Northeast, but were down 9.2% from a year ago. Midwest sales decreased 6%. I don't know if it's interesting, but just kind of a, well, maybe it will interest you on this live stream. Those of you who don't know, I bought the majority of my real estate portfolio in the United States in 2012 in August, between August and, you know, the next 6 months, the next year, and of 2012. And I just sold my last home in Kansas City or in the United States that I owned about a month ago. And if you look back, I hit the bottom of the market, or I missed the absolute bottom of the market in 2012 by like 2 or 3 months. So it'll be interesting. Maybe I hit the top again. Now, that doesn't mean I'm some sort of genius or anything. It doesn't have anything to do with intellect, I can assure you. The only thing I was doing back then is trying to buy things when they're cheap. And the only reason I was selling is because I try to sell it when it's expensive. So we'll have to see how it plays out over the next year or two. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com GeorgeGammon.com/pro. That's GeorgeGammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow rebel capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. Okay, going back to the article. So Midwest sales decreased 6%. They're down 5.2% from February. In South, sales fell 4.4%. In the West, they're down 5%. See, that really surprises me because this includes Florida. This includes, Texas, Arizona. Obviously not state by state. They're lumping them all together by region. I'd be really curious to see how this number breaks down by not only state, but city. The article goes on to have a quote from, Paul Legarry, or I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his name, but anyway, he's a buyer's agent with Joel Nelson Group in Washington, D.C. He says, most of the buyers are adjusting their target to buy the home they can afford at a higher rate, meaning a higher mortgage rate. There has been a pronounced sense of urgency to lock in a mortgage rate and get into a property. In my market, at least, buyers are not electing to rent as an alternative. So what this means is right now, we're seeing a lot of demand being pulled from the future because people have the expectation of higher mortgage rates. Therefore, if they're going to buy it, they're going to buy now. Or they might have already bought, call it a month or two ago. So what does that mean in 3 or 4 months if mortgage rates continue to climb? And over the last couple of months, we've pulled all that demand forward. That means there's going to be far less demand into the summer and into the fall and winter of this year if rates continue to climb. They say today's potential buyers are facing an expensive market. The median monthly payment on a new mortgage is now taking up a larger percentage of their income. We talked about this in the key points. It's up 8.3%. And it's nearly 22% higher than it was in February of 2021. Wow, that's an incredible statistic. So the percentage of the your mortgage payment, as far as the average income, is 22% higher today than it was in 2021 because of the increase in home prices and the increase in mortgage rates. Wow. I mean, at some point, and this was kind of the conclusion of the whiteboard video, although we do have very limited supply, that is true, but you can destroy enough demand to where the prices continue to go down, even if supply is incredibly low. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage spiked 73 basis points from December 2021 through February of 2022, and it's up substantially since February. Together with increased loan application amounts and mortgage applicants' median principal and interest payments in February jumped $127 from January and $337 from a year ago. And keep in mind, guys, this is while we're experiencing higher gas prices that are taking a larger portion of everyone's income and higher food prices. And if you've been watching my videos lately, you know that it's my opinion, that these sanctions against Russia will be paid for by the poor and middle class in the United States through not only higher gas prices, but higher food prices and maybe even significant shortages of food. I would not be surprised if the grocery stores, the shelves are even more barren in 2 or 3 months than they were during the Cerveza sickness. So buyers continue to face tight and pricing market. Now they have to factor in inflation and other parts of their budget. We were just saying list prices for homes re-accelerated after a brief reprieve in the fall of last year, according to realtor.com. As we move into spring season, markets remain clearly tilted in sellers' favor. So this hasn't affected the prices negatively, but you have to wonder that, at some point this has to affect prices. Now, the question is, where is the line in the sand? I would argue that the line in the sand is probably 2% Fed funds. And that's kind of what the bond market is telling us. But I think the Fed is going to continue to raise rates until they break something. until they break the real estate market, which takes a long time to really start to go down. But probably more realistically, they break the stock market, which would then cascade potentially into real estate prices. But, you know, I think they can go to 1% because the supply side is so tight. I think they could probably go to 1%, maybe 1.5 before we really start to see the cracks surface in the economy to where it would really be detrimental to asset prices, specifically real estate. But once they get up to 2.5, I mean, that means that, again, you're talking mortgage rates at 6.5, 7, 7.5. Boy, that would be some serious demand destruction, assuming that incomes, real incomes, don't go up significantly, which I don't really think they're going to do unless the government comes in with a CARES Act 2.0 and UBI and stimmies and all the other stuff, which they may. I mean, you guys have been watching my videos and you know that the politicians are now suggesting that this is the way to tackle inflation, is that inflation is just a result of not having enough money. It's not a result of not having enough stuff. And that mentality will only make inflation worse, as you guys know. So there you have it. Some really crazy data in the housing market. We'll have to wait and see how this plays out. I mean, usually when the Fed is tightening, it's going into a very strong economy. I can't remember when the Fed is tightened when we have all of these unknowns, such as, super high, they've hiked before in super high inflation, that's true. But usually, or often, that inflation is a result of the economy overheating. In this case, we have inflation, and it's a result of the economy doing the opposite. A very poor economy. We have the yield curve flattening. We have war in Russia, you know, potentially getting even worse. And you've got the Fed hiking into a recession instead of usually the hikes are into a kind of, I don't want to say booming economy, but an economy that is where economic activity is accelerating. I think that's the best way to say it. Now they're hiking into an economy where, although we have price inflation, economic activity is decelerating. I think that's the key. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.